And you know what? Children are such a blessing. They're learning. They're watching. God is going to raise them up one day to become a great army. And we as parents and we as grandparents, we need to really have that vision and passion like Jesus. When the children came to him, the Lord got excited. Why? Because he saw the next generations to come.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. It's great to have you with us today as we continue our family life series with reflections on Jesus' great love for children. Pondering Jesus' response to a group of boys and girls brought to him for a blessing, Roel will encourage you to diligently guide your kids to their Savior. You'll see that there's joy like no other when you introduce your kids to Christ, teaching them how to follow him in faith-filled obedience. Today's lesson is Jesus' attitude toward children. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 13, here's Roel Reese.
Now, what's really incredible, after Jesus speaking about marriage and divorce and the importance of marriage, that now Jesus begins to speak about the blessing of children, which is so beautiful. And you think about that for a moment. Think of all of the children all over the world that are being right now physically, sexually abused. Millions. Millions in Asia. Millions in Russia, Europe, here in America. I can't understand it. And yet the Bible is so clear about children that Jesus himself said that it would be better for anybody that offends a little child to put a rope around his neck and get a big millstone and cast yourself into the Sea of Galilee. Child molesters, whatever the sin is, it doesn't matter whether it's lying or cheating, robbing, stealing, sin is sin. The Bible says that one day God will judge. And Satan is out to destroy every single one of us individually. And now as we come into this new story, it's interesting that right after speaking about marriage and divorce, he now is on his way to Jerusalem, remember? He's going to be facing the cross. And he understands what's going to take place. And then all of a sudden, all these mothers began to bring their children to Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, man, he just poured out his love upon them and began to put his hand on their heads and began to converse with them. And the reason for that is because children are very dear to God. He loves children and expects anyone that wants to have children to love their children. Why? Because children are a symbol of who can enter into the kingdom of God. You have to become like a little child. But did you know that in the time of Jesus, people in that time considered children to be, listen, insignificant and unimportant? That's why when the kids came up to Jesus, the disciples said, hey, get away from here. Don't come near Jesus. And Jesus rebuked his disciples. They said, hey, for such is the kingdom of God. Let them come to me. And then I started thinking and looking at the story. How Jesus does not disregard children, but he said, come unto me, all of you. If you want to get into the kingdom of God, you have to become like a little child. So what I did is I went online and I began to look at how many babies have been killed through abortion. It just blew me away. The 12, 13-year-old girls having babies, aborting them. 15, 16-year-olds, 17, 18-year-olds. Women in their 30s and 40s. Killing babies. If you're here today, let me say this to you. God can forgive you. Because he loves you and he cares about you. We all make mistakes. We all sin. And what's interesting is the way God, in his love and grace and mercy, gives us all an opportunity. And as the young people are in here this morning too, you know, you're going to get married one of these days. And if you're in this church and if you're a Christian, God gives you the way out by getting together and just abstaining from sex. And waiting on the Lord for that mate that he's going to prepare for your life. God expects us to do that. And as I was looking over the text, the first observation I made in this great text, look at verse 13, how children were being brought to the Lord in that culture. He says, then the little children were brought to Jesus that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Here's the disciples of Jesus Christ, instead of blessing, they're what? Rebuking them. He's not talking about the non-believer. Rebuking children. But we have to have the mentality preparing for the next generations to come. That we, as the older people, we need to have a love for the young. And willing to teach them and willing to be an example to them. So they can become the leaders of the next generation to come. Then we've done our job as believers. God is going to raise them up one day to become a great army. And we as parents and we as grandparents, we need to really have that vision and passion like Jesus. When the children came to him, the Lord got excited. Why? Because he saw the next generations to come. The disciples couldn't see that. They couldn't see what Jesus was seeing. And I could just picture in my mind as his little children were running around Jesus and the disciples. And the disciples, instead of being free, they were uptight. Because in that culture, they did not like children the way Jesus loved children. Do you notice when they brought the children to him, he touched them, physical contact, and he prayed for them? That's what we as parents and grandparents need to be doing for these young people. We need to be embracing them, loving them, caring for them, being an example for them. One of the great problems in so many homes is that the mother and father are not a great influence or impact on their children because there's hypocrisy in the home. So then the children become bitter and confused about Christianity. And it's really important that if you have a godly home, thank God for it. That you're praying with your babies, that you're laying hands on them, that the father's taking the responsibility and leadership of his home as a spiritual leader of his home. I've taken the responsibility to be a grandfather with my grandkids. Pray with them and to teach them how to pray and how to read the scriptures. Because one day as I pour myself into them, one day they'll pour themselves into somebody else. And God can use their lives. Real important that we love them, that we care about them. When David was writing the psalmist, he wrote an incredible psalm, Psalm 127, 3-5. Listen to what he said. He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's not a curse for a woman to have a baby on the right motives of marriage. You see? It's a reward. He says, like arrows in the hands of the warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They should not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies at the gate. Isn't that beautiful? David, the writer, talking about children. It's a blessing. They're a heritage to our homes, to our families. I wrote some facts down about children here. The children here were not only little, But they were excitable when they were brought to Jesus. They didn't know where they were going. The parents saw the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. And why didn't they bring to them? Because they were never receptive to children. They were hypocrites. And yet, they brought them to Jesus and he was receptive to them. Children were brought for the purpose that Jesus would touch them. That Jesus would pray over them. And even though there were threatenings and opposition, Jesus didn't care. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like what? In order to become a child of God, you have to become like a little child and to get into the kingdom of God. You have to become like a child to be in God's kingdom. Otherwise, you can't get in. And yet at the same time, these children, they didn't know what was going on. They were too young. Too young to know. And yet Jesus embraced them and loved them and demonstrated to the Pharisees and the scribes the love that he had for children. It's pretty cool because as you see what's going on here, the Bible is very clear about children. A child who is brought to Christ, when someone is bringing their children to Christ, what's going to happen to them? They're going to learn about love. Because that's what Christ demonstrated to these little children when they came to him. I could just see him on the ground playing with them. In their level. Getting on their level. You know what hurts me so much is I'm in store sometimes. I was at the store the other day. And this mother had like 3 or 4 kids. And one was getting kind of out of order. And she took him and she picked him up and shook him and then threw him down. Oh man, I tell you, it's sick. You think he feels her love? No possible way.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. Connect with us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com for a wealth of scripture-rich resources. You can also join Raul for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Now back to more of today's study.
And it's really important that you understand that the main example that we have here is the Lord. The Lord is teaching the disciples. The Lord is teaching the Pharisees and the scribes that when children come, you must love them, you must play with them, you must become like them in innocency. You know, secondly, what happens here? A child that was brought to Christ is a child that's going to grow up learning power and triumph, hope and faith in the Lord because of the example that is given. And not only faith and hope, but also they're going to be learning the truths of life and endurance in life. When their trials come and their temptations come and their difficult days come, they're going to go back and remember how mom and dad dealt with their trials and temptations and how much my parents loved me and cared for me and when they prayed for me when I was out and bummed out. And they instructed me in the ways of the Lord. That's what children remember. And they'll become an example. When my 3 boys were growing up, we were always reading to them, praying with them. And I mean, they had to go to church because they get into an age, maybe teenage years. They get into junior high, high school. They go, well, you know, I'm old enough now. I don't want to go to church. Well, as long as you live in my house, you got to go to church. When you turn 18, you can do whatever you want to do. But as long as you live in this house, you have to attend church. And how I thank God that I never bended from that. Because my son Ryan, after 19 years of backsliding and not reading and praying or doing anything with God, what happened in a hotel room, the Holy Spirit from the beginning of time came to him and brought him back. That's what the scripture says. Only God can do that. You may have children today that are wayward. They're backslidden. Sin has a hold of them. Don't give up on them. God loves them. And I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Get on your knees and pray. When I got that call that night from Lopez, the writer in Panama City, and said, your son's going to die here tonight. What could I do? I'm here. He's in Central America. I got calls like that all the time. I just dropped to my knees and I prayed. I said, Lord, I put him in your hands. And I asked Ryan. He says he went back to the hotel room. And the first thing he did, he opened the drawer and saw the Gideon Bible. He opened it up and began to read. He didn't feel anything close to that. Went to sleep. Got in the airplane the next morning and he stole the Gideon Bible. Remember that? He stole the Gideon Bible, took it. That's what they're there for anyways. He took it. And on the plane for 7 hours, reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. He never read it in 19 years. And when he got to L.A., he called me. And I told him, man, you need to get your life on, you know, to give to God and see what God wants to do. He drove over here. He quit his job. He came over here. Got up to my office and he said, I'm going to go to rehab. I'm going to do all this. And he never, ever went to rehab. He got a little corner of my office. I put a Bible there, put a study thing there. He started studying and praying and reading. And look what God has done. And God will continue to do that. He will do that with your son and your daughter. But you got to love them. You got to forgive them. They're your children. They're God's children. And I can just picture in my mind the way Jesus, the way he deals with us. Think how many times we've disobeyed. We haven't done good. God should have wiped us out, and yet he hasn't yet. He continues to forgive you. He continues to love you. He continues to humble you. Why? Because as these children, trust and endurance, and then finally listen to this, he says, growing and learning about God's peace in my life. You got to have peace with God. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes did not have in their lives. And there's a lot of people that don't have peace in their lives. That's why they drink. That's why they take drugs. That's why they do the crazy things they do, because there is no peace in their lives. And the only one that can give you that peace is Jesus Christ. And the disciples are standing back, looking at Christ, playing with all these little children, laying hands on them, praying for them. And then check this out, observation number 2, verse 14. But Jesus said, when they rebuked them, remember, the disciples rebuked the kids. But Jesus said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Can you believe that? For such is the kingdom of heaven. Let the little children come unto me. I love young people. I love kids. They're the future of the church. So many hundreds, thousands, millions are perishing. And what is it going to take this nation? What is it going to take the church to really come to that place? A submission of my life to him so that God can use my life. And he can do whatever he desires to do, just like Jesus here. Because that's what the scripture speaks to my heart. That I need to be sensitive like Christ to any particular need. Whoever is in need, to be open to the Holy Spirit. And if I have children, if I'm a mother and father, I need to love them. I only have them for a little while. God loaned them to me for 18 years. And then they're going to be on their own. You don't have to teach them how to sin. They'll learn how to sin. But at the same time, if I'm loving them and caring for them, and if I'm praying for them, then what's going to happen? They're going to return back to the Lord. They're going to come back. It's a promise from God. And I think it's so cool the way Paul the Apostle, in writing to the book of Ephesians, he writes to the parents in chapter 6, 4, and he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you have a great responsibility to bring up your children in the ways of the Lord, not tearing them down, building them up, disciplining them in the Lord, not in your anger, but in the Lord, through his love, through his grace, through his mercy. And the thing that God desires from all of us here, young and old, is that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's what is acceptable. So Jesus was really just speaking to the disciples, saying, disciples, let them come to me. Like Solomon, being a father of many children, he writes in Proverbs chapter 6, 20, 23, he says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck when you roam, and they will lead you when you sleep. They will keep you. And when you get up in the morning, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are on the way of life. And then in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments in your head, chains around your neck. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, and if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 3, 1 to 3, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart, he says. Mom, dad, teach your children. Pray for your children. Have the attitude that Christ had in this passage. Let them come unto me. And he began to lay hands on them. He began to pray for them. He began to love them. And then you know what's so cool? Third observation, verse 15. Check this out. And then he laid his hands on them, and then he departs. Notice that. At the beginning, you remember what he did? Let's go back there. Look what he says. First of all, he said, the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. And he begins to do exactly what they brought him for. All of a sudden, as their disciples begin to walk away, the last thing Jesus does, he lays hands on them and he begins to pray for them. And he's on his way to the cross. He's going to die on the cross. Yet Jesus, he doesn't care because he knows that he's doing what's right. He knows that in order for anybody to get into the kingdom of God, you have to become like a little child, humble, naive, to come to know him, to know his love, to know his grace, to know his mercies.
As we've heard today, the time with your children living under your roof is short and swift, so we urge you to stay intentional about instructing them in the Word of God and modeling a healthy, authentic faith. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Rees. Today's lesson was titled Jesus' Attitude Toward Children. A complete unedited version is available to you for a donation of $5 or more. If you'd like to get a copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. To support you in your efforts of raising godly kids, we'd like to tell you about a new book titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. Raul and his late wife Sharon share from their personal experience in bringing up three sons and provide biblical insights that you can put into practical use in your home. No matter what stage of parenting you might be in, you'll find helpful wisdom and encouragement. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. We'll send your copy for a donation of $12 plus shipping and handling. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Join Raul for Straight Talk every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, our convenient, wide-ranging hub of live and archived messages from the Word of God. You'll also find podcasts of all of these programs on iTunes and Spotify. And for an online scripture reading group and digital studies of God's Word, be sure to download our free app. Somebody Loves You Radio is fully listener-supported, and we are thankful for your partnership. Your continued support enables us to keep sharing the Word of God with multitudes every day. Next time, we'll continue this series with a look at how making more time for your marriage can reap dividends in the overall health of your family. Now, here's Raul with the final comment.
In Ephesians 6:4, he said, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That's our command. You only have them one time, and it's a short time. And there's so many young people beyond these four walls here in our communities, in our cities, in the world that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they don't have anybody to tell them. We must tell them. And we begin by getting on our faces before God and praying and asking God to give us insight to these children that need the Lord.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.